Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a lot of history was made in the last 72 hours since our last show, and here's another piece of historical information that is now current. The House passed the soft infrastructure bill that's called the Inflation Reduction Act by a vote of 220 to 207, absolutely party line. Not a single Republican voted for it. A couple of people voted present. I want to get into that a little bit so you understand what happened and actually Nancy Pelosi's leadership in forcing that through. Initially, as of Friday morning, there were members of the squad who refused to commit to it. There were members of the Progressive Caucus who refused to commit to it. They didn't say they vote against it, but they were very unhappy, and I'm frankly unhappy too, with Kyrsten Sinema interfering with some of the tax provisions in it. But at the end, Pelosi was able to rope in the votes, 220 to 207. What that does show you, by the way, is what a small majority we have. When I say we, I mean the Democrats. So that passed by 13 votes. If you switch seven of those votes, it doesn't pass. So, you know, seven seats at risk in this particular election, given the fact that Biden has the White House. Our work is cut out for us. But frankly, the polls now are starting to tick upwards for the Democrats. So all is not lost, but a lot of work's got to be done. This is a $740 billion package. It addresses primarily climate change, prescription drugs, and the tax code. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the most significant bills that's been passed, certainly in this century. And when I say this century, we're really only talking 22 years. The first time a guy said, well, this is something in this century, I thought, oh my God, that goes back to 1900. Well, no, it doesn't. It's just the 21st century. But in any event, hard infrastructure was a big deal. It was a big deal to repair our roads, our bridges, our airports, our water systems. That's a very big deal. But this one provided climate change relief that will reduce CO2 carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. And we got Manchin to sign off on it and vote for it. Manchin, from coal country. And what it did was, it gave him some things that people in his state wanted, but he's taking heat for it. And yet we're going to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. That's 8 years from now. That's very, very good. Very, very good. But Kyrsten Sinema stuck a knife in it and twisted the knife until people cried uncle on the tax issue. So I want to talk about the tax issue, and I want to talk about prescription drugs very briefly. She gets a lot of money from Wall Street and the pharmaceutical industry. So everyone was afraid that she wouldn't vote for it, and that she would, if she didn't vote for it in the Senate, then we only have 49 votes and it doesn't pass. You can't have Kamala Harris voting on something unless it's a tie. And if she hadn't voted for it, it would have been 50-49 against. She went along with the pharmaceutical part of it. It permits the government now, Medicare, and other agencies of government, the Veterans and all administration, all that, to negotiate discounts on pharmaceuticals with drug companies. Why is that a big deal? Well, it should be a no-brainer. It should be a no-brainer. Insurance companies do that all the time. They say, okay, we want to buy some statins for you, you know, to lower cholesterol. A lot of people use them. If you just do a onesies and twosies, you may charge us $8. But we're going to buy 200 million of them. So we want it for $4. And then the pharmaceutical company says, how about $5? But you get a real reduction. You get a real reduction. Under George W. Bush, the Republicans rammed through to help the pharmaceutical companies that you can't negotiate. You can't negotiate. I mean, they've done anti-intellectual things. Let me tell you something. On guns, there is still a law that they rammed through that said that the National Institute of Health, NIH, can't even research or discuss any health issues relating to guns. That it's verboten. I mean, that's totally anti-intellectual. That's still on the books. But this one is in a different way because it's economic. You couldn't even discuss a reduction. That's wrong. Now that has been corrected. That's been corrected. And also there's been increased funding for lower income people on their premiums under the Affordable Care Act to permit them to continue to get health care. Millions of people, by the way. But where Sinema stuck the knife in, where she stuck the knife in, was on hedge funds and investment firms who don't pay income tax. And you may say, Matt, how can investment firms not pay income tax and hedge funds? Because they hired a lot of lobbyists, and they had the lobbyists pass a law that said that what they get is not income, it's carried interest. And carried interest is taxed about half of the income tax. This bill initially corrected that. But Sinema gets a lot of her money from Wall Street. She said she wouldn't vote for it if that stayed in, and she single-handedly stopped it. This is wrong. This is very wrong. We need her vote, I guess, so that we can continue to organize the Senate and have a Democratic majority leader. For the first chance we get, if we have any margin in the Senate, somebody's got to run against her in a primary in Arizona. She's bad news. We're going to the lines. Randy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Randy? Randy of Madison. Can't hear you, Randy. Could you speak up, or if you have it on a speaker, take it off. I can't hear you, Randy. Can you speak up a little bit?
Mind that.
Go ahead.
I can't hear you, Randy. Can you speak up?
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Go ahead.
Right?
Yeah, what's on your mind, Randy?
This past primary has been so full of ironies. I'm talking about the Wisconsin primary last Tuesday, because I woke up Wednesday and felt relieved that Robin Voss had survived his fatwa, you know, from Donald Trump. And then 15 seconds later, I realized I've detested everything Robin Voss has said and done for the last 6-7 years. More to the point, I felt bad that a terrible candidate like Rebecca Clayfish went down because Tim Michaels is a horrible candidate, and I think what we can start seeing with Tim Michaels, if you go by the his primary advertising, his pre-primary advertising, is he has three major points. Veteran status, which I think has seen a little bit of misrepresentation. I think the Democrats should look at that. The way he thinks that being ignorant about politics is a virtue, and he's bone ignorant about them. And his cartoon scenario of how Democrats are out to destroy us. And there's a lot of dog whistling in that latter part. If you looked at any of this advertising, maybe the dog whistling will go down, but a big part of his message is it's up to us patriotic Aryans to keep the dark-skinned masses out of suburbia.
Randy, I love having you call in. You know, that's a very, very good and humorous way of putting it, that you woke up and were relieved that Voss won, even though he's terrible, and you were sorry that Clayfish lost, even though she's terrible. And I know what you mean. I mean, I do know what you mean. Adam Steen, Voss's opponent, was worse in some respect, but that would have given Trump a win, which we didn't want. And Clayfish, of course, was in the hip pocket of Walker and all those people. And it was a contest between Trump and Walker, so you can't feel good about either one of them winning. But that was very good, very, very funny. And I agree with you on Michael's advertising, you know, this business about, you know, he's not a politician and all this business. Here's my concern about Michaels, quite frankly, and I've talked to people outstate about this. He did very, very well in the rural counties, very, very well. And then secondly, Rebecca Clayfish lost Washington County, and she only won Waukesha and Ozaukee by single digits. Whereas for her to win, she had to win all three, the WOW counties, all three of them, and win by double digits. So if this shows strength in the rural areas, I don't know. People who are friends of mine, the Democratic Party outstate, are concerned about that. I'm less concerned about that. But I see what you're saying. I thank you. Great comments. Next one up, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill of Oconomowoc?
Morning, Matt. Hey, how about some good news? I was reading this morning on the internet where many Republican governors are telling the extremist part of their party to shut up about trying to create a hate campaign on the FBI. Do you realize the far right wing, they hate the Pentagon, they hate CIA, FBI, the Joint Chiefs, they made fun of them all. And they were complaining about BLM defunding the police. None of this even makes sense. But here's my point. Slowly but surely, the Trump backers are starting to erode, especially when Republican governors are saying, not this stuff off about the FBI, not that all off, January 6th. That isn't a conspiracy. The far right wing actually hates America as it stands. They just tried to destroy our education system. They wreaked havoc with health concerns. All their misinformation led to over 100,000 deaths. And I can go on and on and on how they've destroyed America. But finally, thank God, some of the party is starting to wake up. And again, I sure hope that Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger are on the ticket for the presidential election. That could be the end of it all. Thanks again for my time, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, those are great comments, because it's very welcome to see anybody in the Republican leadership stick up for the FBI. You know, Kevin McCarthy is not, Steve Scalise is not. You're not going to see it out of Elise Stefanik. And frankly, you're not seeing it out of Moscow Mitch. None of them are getting up on their hind legs and doing it. They're afraid of Trump. But the Republican governors, some of them, Larry Hogan, not all of them, believe me. I mean, I'm not seeing that out of a lot of them, but there are some that's great. Yeah, I agree. If Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger ran as a ticket, they would be formidable. And Mitt Romney, he was the nominee back in 2012. The Republicans. He said he hopes she does run. And by the way, everybody, Liz Cheney's primary is tomorrow. It's tomorrow. She's running against a hack named Harriet Hageman. Harriet Hageman is opposing her. Harriet Hageman had been one of her supporters. Harriet Hageman is just putty in Trump's hands. I mean, she's simply going to be a Trump acolyte. I mean, she'll be very much like Kristi Noem and Kim Reynolds and Carrie Lake down in Arizona, and the woman who was nominated in Michigan, or like Elise Stefanik. These are people that have no original ideas, and they are simply Trump, basically slaves. And she's running against Liz Cheney. Now, Liz Cheney put out a final ad. I don't know if you saw it on YouTube, but it was really magnificent. And she put it out on social media, standing up for our Constitution, saying that the Trump cults can't be permitted to continue to run the Republican Party and run the country. And it was a magnificent statement. It's a statement that will go down in history. But if she loses this primary, because she's expected to, because, you know, Wyoming is a solidly Republican state and they are for Trump, she has stood up and she has covered herself in glory. And I'll tell you, I hope she does run. And she is absolutely formidable. Bill, thanks for calling in, as always. This defund the police. That's never been the position of the Democratic Party. And now you have Marjorie Taylor Greene and others saying defund the FBI. Enough's enough. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.